3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we find you working in our lives and this message speaking to us, coming to us at the right time. Amen. You may be seated. In this section in James, he's doing a lot of practical advice. He does throughout the whole book. But in our Bible study, those who've been coming to that regularly on the book of Romans, we've been talking about how when we come and see God's holiness, it shows us our unholiness, how far off we are from God's goodness. And in the book of Romans, it says, should we then continue to be decrepit, wretched sinners and continue to sin so that we can show forth how good God really is by showing Him how bad we are? And of course, Paul says in Romans, of course not. Of course not. But when we look at God and His holiness and we read through the Word of God, don't we see in there how much we need to work on? Sometimes people stay away from reading God's Word because there's so much. They feel like, well, I got to change this, I got to change this. But it also says in the Word that God will heal us and change us by the power of His Spirit. So you can trust that. And let that happen on God's timing as you're ready and continue to be diligent in seeking Him without fear. James says, immediately after the last verse I read in 23, 24 forward, it says, anyone who looks into God's Word and doesn't do it but forgets is like somebody who looks in the mirror and sees their reflection, walks away and forgets what they look like. Now that verse, for many, many years, and as a matter of fact, until this morning as I was continuing to study this section, I asked the Lord, I said, why can't I seem to understand this? And He said, that verse is the one you need to look at. And I said, I understand, God. It's like a guy who looks in the mirror and he walks away and forgets what he looks like. And He says, but you don't understand. When you hear the word that I have for you, it shows you your life as I see it. And if you hear it and can begin to respond to that and remember what you're working on in your life and not forget, you won't walk away and say, I wonder what God had anyway, you know, and we begin to justify. Well, you know, I'm okay. I got everything I need. I'm okay. But then when we come back to God's Word, we see the same thing that we ignored before. God says, let my Word speak to your heart and begin to take root. And this morning, this message is talking about putting it on the line, what you say you believe. You see, faith is what we're all about in Christian walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. Continually we talk about that. And this morning I want to share with you a little bit more about that and what it means. I heard a definition once of faith, and if you've never heard this definition, it's a good one. And if anybody ever takes notes, this is a good one to write down. Faith is our response to God's personal revelation of Himself to us in Jesus Christ. That's a long sentence, isn't it? But let me say it again. Faith is a response. What we do after hearing, seeing the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to us. Faith is a verb. It's not a noun. You can't possess faith. You do faith. You can't increase faith. You act more on your faith. The faith of what you believe. Let's see what James says here in first part of chapter 1. He says, "The trying of your faith worketh patience." And when our faith is tried, don't we sometimes want to get exasperated? Don't you want to say, I've had enough. God, find the way out. You said you'd give me no less than I could endure. You'd always provide a way of escape. Lord, bring it on. I was talking with Lorianne Shelton yesterday. She comes to church here every now and then. And she said that for 2 years she'd put her resumes out and put them out and no response. And she'd go to interviews and no job offer. After 2 years, she kept sending them out for another year and sending them out and still doing menial jobs below her education level, the things that she was qualified for. And then yet, after a year, she said she had a couple of good bites, but nothing happened. And then another year, 4 years, she lived 30% below the level she was accustomed to. She lived hand to mouth almost. And then after 4 years, patiently enduring, she finally got the position she has now. She's had it for 2 months. And what she said to me yesterday, and she and Mandy and I were conversing, and she said, you know, I just kept doing it. I had to. I had to find ways to make life work. I had to do what I had to do until God would come through. But I never stopped believing. And Mandy said, I couldn't do that. I'd be frustrated. I'd get up and walk away. And Lorianne said, there is no place to walk away to. You have to do what you have to do sometimes. And when our faith is being tested, we have to keep putting it out there, saying, I still believe. I still believe. And the more we seem like there's no answer in sight, we still believe. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's not easy to do. But faith says, I believe and therefore I act. Otherwise, it's not faith. Faith means you believe. If you believe in something, it's something you do. Right? If you believe that wearing black shoes on Monday is a good thing, then you'll wear black shoes on Monday. It's a simple example. But if you believe it's a bad thing, you won't do it. Why? Because you act in accordance with what you truly believe, no matter what you say. Let me say that again. You act with what you truly believe, not by what you say or think you believe. Your actions show your faith. Because faith is a response. It is a movement. It is a verb. It happens. The word faithing, I heard that one time. We are faithing it daily with God. Putting it out there on the line day after day. Learning how to trust God more and more. And sometimes those trials do work patience. Because faith says, no matter what response I get back, God's still God. And He's told me to believe, and I'm still going to do the things that He's called me to do. No matter whether there's an answer or not in my life. And he goes on, and he says, not only does faith work patience, it says, but let that patience have its perfect work in you. Let your character be established. Let patience do what needs to be done in you. Because God gives the answers at the right time. Sometimes we say, well, if that's so, how come I'm still waiting? Patience still has its work to do. Still has something for you to be molded into. God is working on us constantly, trying to mold us into perfect gems and jewels. He's like an artist taking a rough piece of clay and molding it. And part of that is the patience is going to give us a character that we didn't have before. And if we're very patient people, and we've learned that, then we also can be patient with others. And with God. And with ourselves. And realize that God's timing is the timing we want anyway. And that's learning to trust, and sometimes patience develops trust. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I can't trust very well. I have trouble trusting. Sometimes I ask them, are you patient? Are you willing to let that be what it is and let the trust grow? Sometimes trust takes a while. It's okay to let it have its course, but it will grow if you're patient. And as you learn patience. Sometimes we're too impatient to learn to be patient. I want patience, Lord, and I want it right now. Hurry up, Lord. I want that patience. You ever said that? And it says when patience has its perfect work, that you will be complete and wanting of nothing. Because you'll be able to trust God's timing. What you have is what you want. And that which God provides is what you'll desire. He'll change your heart to what He wants you to know. Somehow or another, James gets this into verse 5. And at first it looks like a jump. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to men liberally or generously, and upbraideth it not, and it shall be given him. Upbraideth means hold back. God does not hold back. He doesn't keep it from us. But how does that come about after saying, let patience have its work in you, that you won't want anything? And then it says, if anybody lacks wisdom. What does wisdom and patience have to do with one another? Do you not think that wisdom is something that is required slowly and acquired slowly? You aren't waking up as soon as you're born wise. Do you know what the definition of wisdom is according to Scripture? True wisdom is to know the Lord and to be fearful of Him. To know how He works. To know that His ways are higher than ours. That His thoughts are much higher than ours. To trust Him with that. That's true wisdom. What is it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Isn't that what the proverb says? Right? To trust that God knows what He's doing, even though we may not think so. You know, He's been around a lot longer than we have. We forget that, don't we? God, You just don't understand me. You don't understand that I need this now. God, You don't understand I'm scared. And God just kind of smiles and says, I know. I know. Trust me on this one. Trust me on all of them. But trust me on this one first. You'll learn that My ways will bless you. I have My thoughts toward you, My plans, to give you hope in a future, to promise that to you. I will fulfill My promise to you, says God. Sometimes we have trouble hearing that because God's word to us sometimes is tough. But He goes on. He says, not only do you ask and God will give it generously and not hold back any, but ask in faith. There's that word again, faith. How does that fit in with faith being our response? It says, when you ask God for something, to ask with a response to His revelation to you. Now, if you're asking in that way, it means you're asking as though God did it already. That you trust that God's going to provide it. Maybe not right at this moment, but that He's going to provide it. And you're acting like you've already got it. God, I want You to provide for me a new car or a new vehicle, a vehicle when mine breaks. And not only that, but then to begin to act in faith means I believe God is going to do that. I'm not going to think a second way about it, but I'm going to trust Him for it, that He knows when I need it, how I need it, why I need it, and it'll be there if He says I need it. That He can do that because He has all the resources of the world at His command. Asking in faith says, God, You can do this. I have no question You can. And I, not only that, I believe You are already doing it. And I'm going to trust You with it and act as though You've taken care of it already. Why? Why would we simply say that when we don't see an answer? What was the name of the song you sang?
If we could see beyond today.
If we could see beyond today. You see, God doesn't just want to provide you with a material blessing. He wants you to learn to trust Him with that. He wants you to have a blessing beyond that. And He's going to take, when He offers you something, He's going to say, you know, this was a nice gift, God, but the way You did it was wonderful. And you're going to praise Him for the way He works. And you're going to praise Him for the way He's blessed you. He'll do it. But He wants you to trust Him to do that completely. It says, if anybody would ask in faith, you don't waver. For verse 7 says, let that man not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord if you waver. Because if you ask God and don't believe He can give it, and don't trust that He will, you don't know our God too well. And also, a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Oh, I trust in God, but I don't trust Him with this. Well, do you or do you not trust Him? If you trust Him, act on it. Put your faith on the line. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Do you know why it's hard to do? Because we haven't spent time learning how God works. He works in ways we cannot see to provide us blessings we cannot anticipate. Faith is a verb. When you have faith, it means you're acting on what you believe. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came for you, lived His life for you, rose again for you, and reigns and calls you into His throne, and is the only way to heaven, to our Heavenly Father, is open the door to heaven. If you believe all that, then you'll live that. Do you remember when the disciples were saying, oh Lord, increase our faith? What did He say? If you have as much faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, move, and it'll go. Now, a lot of people said, well, a mustard seed, the reason it's so important is because when you plant it, it becomes big. It isn't how much you got. You see, they did something with a mustard seed, and I want you to hear about this. They, first of all, they took an apple seed, and they submitted it to radioactive isotopes, planted it, and what came up was totally disfigured. They took a pear seed, submitted it to radioactive isotopes for an hour, planted it, and it came up completely disfigured. No good fruit, totally destroyed. They took orange seeds. They took all the different seeds and submitted them to isotopes to see what would happen, how they would grow. They took mustard seed, and they submitted it for an hour, and it grew up normal. And they said, well, this is kind of weird. So they took another mustard seed, and they zapped it for 2 days, enough to kill anything radioactively, planted it, and it came up normal. You hear this? A mustard seed stands up and keeps being a mustard seed no matter what you do to it. It still produces the fruit and the tree no matter what. So faith is a faith that doesn't waver. It doesn't change, but continues to be what it is. and to believe what it believes, and to establish it within itself that it knows its creator and its purpose, and it sends it forth. When we believe and have faith, it doesn't mean the size of a mustard seed. It says, as a mustard seed. You don't need a big bunch of faith. You just need to do it. You just need to faith it. And each time you do that, the challenge, the risk will be greater. But each time, God will pull you through completely. Sure, it's scary. But that's because we live by sight. But when we begin to live by faith, we can say, God has already made it happen. I can't see it, but I'm not trusting what I see. I'm trusting what I know is true about God. What He's told me is true. It's much bigger than what my fear tells me. I don't know about you. I don't know where your heart is and your faith is. After 30-some years in the ministry, you've probably seen quite a bit. But I'll bet you there's still times when your faith is still something you have to be active on and risk. It never stops. But, you know, some people say, well, it's too late for me. I've wasted too much time. You know, it's too late for this situation. No, it isn't. That's our understanding of it. With God, there's nothing that's impossible. We can't limit God effectively. We can't limit Him at all. We can only limit ourselves by understanding what God can and cannot do. God can do it. And if you ask and trust Him, He will begin to work, and you will see His glory. And you'll wonder why you even questioned Him in the first place. But I must say this, and this is where the message is spoken to me, and where the Lord has spoken to my heart for us this morning, that when we believe, we have to act. If you believe in Christ, that He makes you a loving person, you have to love. You will become a loving person if you believe that. You have to faithfully act that out. You have to respond. If you believe God has touched you and you belong to Him and you are now filled with His Spirit, or you want the Spirit, or you want the cleansing of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll say, I want that. If you want to grow and have the pure spiritual milk of the Word, and you want the Bible study we talked about, or the prayer partner to help you be accountable to growing, you'll do it. If you believe, it's important. If you see yourself in the mirror of God's Word, you'll be a doer of it, and not just a hearer. And you won't have to walk away from this service saying, yeah, that was a good point, you know. But it's not as important as I thought at the time. Because when we look in a mirror, everything is crystal clear. But as soon as we walk away from the moment where God's Spirit is staring at us, we forget. Because we can't see it. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask You to open our eyes in the Spirit, to open our eyes of our hearts, that our heart would be exposed before You and we'd see ourselves as we truly are. Lord, that Your Spirit would move upon us, strengthen us, increase us. And also to remind us that we are seeking Your glory, Your holiness, Your righteousness, which we cannot manufacture. Remind us that it is through the acting upon Your Word, the belief in what we've called You to do, and asking in Your will, and knowing beyond even our doubts that You are able. That's what causes us to become Yours. alive and on fire. Amen. Before we sing our final hymn, I invite you to hear this response. My desire as a pastor for you is that you'd be on fire for Jesus Christ. That every day you'd be hungry. That every day you'd want to know more about Jesus. Every day you wake up, you'd look around and say, "Where's God's blessing today?" That's my desire for you. And there's a difference. And this is the difference between someone who's not on fire for God and someone who says, "Well, I believe in God." A person who believes in God says, "You know, I believe in God and I can have church anywhere. I can pray anytime. And as long as I'm a good person, you know, and believe in God, everything will be okay. And God will work it out. I trust God like that." But a person who's on fire for God and faithing it out says, "Where's my blessing right now? Where's God active in my life right now? I want more. I want to know, preacher, you got something else I can learn about God? You got something you can help me with? God, I'm hungry for more of you." And if you ask God to stir you up, He will make you hungry like that. And you'll wake up every morning going, "God, I just got to get into your word right now. I need something fed. I need fed." You'd be like a starving child. And it's wonderful to see, because all of a sudden, fruit begins to bear out in your life. And you don't even have to question whether or not God's going to do something for you, because you see it through the eyes of faith. Would you stand as we sing, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee"?